Be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. I shall be reading as a way to introduce the lesson this morning. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In this reading and throughout the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, we are going to notice this morning words that are spoken, that are written with the purpose of encouraging Christians to continue as light in the Lord. What a beautiful phrase this is. Outstanding, tremendous, powerful, truthful. When Paul tells these brethren at Ephesus, you are light in the Lord. I want to identify who these that are called light in the Lord are. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, this may not seem very important, but you know, in our world today, every religious person will admit to some degree that he is light in the Lord. But Paul, when he is writing, he wants to identify, and he does, specifically, who are the light in the Lord. And he calls them saints and faithful in verse 1 of chapter 1. But when you turn the page and you read verses 11 through 13, more specifically, Paul is identifying the Jews that had obeyed the gospel and the Gentiles who had obeyed the gospel. These were light in the Lord. Notice the language. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's in reference to Israel. That's in reference to the Jews that had obeyed the gospel. But notice in verse 13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So here he identifies these Christians being made up of the Jewish people and also of the Gentiles who were known as pagans. These people, because they had heard the gospel, they were moved by the gospel, they repented, they confessed their faith in Christ, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Because of their obedience to the gospel, these were called saints. And because they continued in the gospel, they were also considered faithful in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 2, in verses 19 through verse 22, he again references these brethren. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So these were not just anyone that was religious. These that are called light in the Lord, these that are called saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, were a very special group of people, exclusive in their identity because of their relationship to Christ. But notice something else that we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, and I'm not going to read all the way through chapter 3, verse 21. But you will recall that when Paul begins his letter in verse 3, he says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And in verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. And he continues using this very same language to point out how these people that were saints, these people that were light in the Lord, were blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that does to that phrase? You are light in the Lord. It is an exclusive list of people. It is not just anyone that is religious. It is that particular person who has obeyed the gospel and has continued serving faithfully in the Lord. Now, why do we point out these things that are found here in Ephesians? Well, it's because Paul will say to these same people, you were once darkness. To emphasize the power of light. Listen carefully. To emphasize the place and the power of light, the Apostle Paul is making a contrast. He wants the Ephesians to recognize that they are a very special group of people, exclusive group of people. These at one time were darkness. Do you know that that word darkness in English, we have two different words in Spanish for darkness. One of those words identify darkness as we see it at night. But the other word for darkness in Spanish is to identify everything that is sinful and bad and ugly in life. And that's how this word is used here when Paul says you were once darkness. He's not talking about night. He's not talking about walking into a room that is dark. But he is talking about a sinful life identified by the word darkness. And that's how he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8 when he begins, "For you were once darkness." Look at chapter 6, verses 11, beginning with verse 11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," the schemes, the tricks, the temptations that are identified with Satan. And just in case you do not see what he's talking about, look at verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." The Christian battles, he fights against every kind of evil that is identified with the word darkness. And here in chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, He identifies exactly what he's talking about. Sin is described with words that God himself made up. Listen carefully. God has used words to identify darkness. God has used phrases to identify darkness. He has used examples of men and women, their lifestyle, their way of dealing with one another, to identify everything that is involved in darkness. But when he tells these brethren, "You are light in the Lord," that you were once darkness, he is showing a contrast that these people had made a turn for the right. And having done that, the Apostle Paul, going back to chapter 5, verses 11, and I'm going to read through verse 13 again. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." Light will serve to identify those acts of sin that are known in darkness. Now listen carefully. Paul is telling these particular Ephesians that they are light in the Lord. They have stepped out of darkness. And he advises these brethren, he commands them, have nothing to do with the works of darkness. Since you have come out of darkness into light in the Lord, stay away from darkness. Have no fellowship. Don't associate. Don't have anything to do. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. What a statement. What a command. You are light in the Lord. Stay away from sin. Stay away completely. Let me tell you, this is probably one of the hardest things to do in our lives. To have no fellowship, have nothing in common with sin, with darkness. And why do I say this? I say this because we live in a world, like it was discussed during our class hour, we live in a world where we are challenged by everything that is evil and ugly. Not only adults, but our children in the schools, in sports, among their friends and neighbors. These are real issues. When Paul is telling these brethren, you are light in the world, stay away. Do not be partakers. Don't participate in these acts of darkness. Let me also emphasize this morning that just as Paul is making these statements to these brethren, going back to what he says in chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Not only is he commanding the Ephesian brethren to have no fellowship with the acts of darkness, he is encouraging these brethren who are light in the Lord to walk, to live, to follow as children of light. Act as light. Act as though you are in the Lord, because you are. Chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You were called by the gospel from darkness to light. From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of the Lord. Going back to chapter 5, it is repeated over and over again, to walk as children of light. These are words of encouragement. Someone may be reading these words and say, boy, you know, that preacher is letting these people have it. Well, I'm going to let you have it, but I'm going to let you have this. These are words of encouragement. These are words of wisdom. These are words of an advice. These are words of look out for yourself and look out for others. You are light in the Lord. Now, where does all of this come from? Jesus made a beautiful statement that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 5. We all know these words. We've read them. We've heard them. Christ told the disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What a beautiful statement that is. It's quoted, it's read over and over again. This is where Paul gets this particular statement. You are light in the Lord. In the Lord who is light, we are light. And in conclusion, there in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 14, that particular passage that we read at the beginning, look at the words of Paul beginning in verse 14. Therefore, everything that he has stated here, here's the conclusion. What's the conclusion, Paul? Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You see the point? Do you get it? I know you do. Because it's so simple. Since you are light in the Lord, those of you who sleep, who have not become light in the Lord, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, stop right there. That phrase, will give you light, in the Greek, it says, Christ will make you light up. Christ will make you light up. What a beautiful statement. And that's what this is. If among us, you are already a light in the Lord, but you're asleep, the same exhortation is given to you to wake up. Wake up and smell the roses. Wake up and notice the fact that you are light in the Lord. And if you arise from the dead, you become active again. You are restored. You come forward and you declare to God, I need you. Christ will respond by making you to shine. An invitation song has been prepared. Shall we stand and sing, and we invite you.